And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. We're doing so because it's another edition of Tell Al Tuesday. I've asked Dina to join me, and what you're going to find out is that, first of all, Dina is really just a really sweet person. She's just a super, super nice person. You're really going to like her. But more importantly, she, like you, at one point realized, and maybe you haven't realized this yet, but she realized it along with her husband, Marshall, that they had a retirement problem. They did. They had a retirement problem, and they didn't quite know what to do to solve that problem. So they turned to Lifestyles Unlimited. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about their journey today. We're going to talk about what they have done to change the trajectory of their retirement. Now, let me give you some backstory on them. Now get this. I mean, this is some of you are going to think this is crazy, but I think this is actually brilliant. Get this. They became members of Lifestyles Unlimited in the pandemic. They did. Somewhere in 2020, they decided that they were going to join Lifestyles Unlimited. And we've got to find out why. We have to find out why. And more importantly, not only did they decide to join Lifestyles Unlimited, they did something that we call taking action. They actually went out and bought real estate assets. And some of those assets, one of those assets I know in particular, has gone through what we call the full cycle. So we'll talk to her about what the full cycle is like. Because here's the thing that you have to understand. When you make a decision to become a real estate investor and you make a decision to join Lifestyles Unlimited, you effectively make a decision to change your life. And you have two choices. You can either take action or you can sit on your hands and let the world pass you by. Now, Marshall and Dina, they didn't sit on their hands. They took action. So let's do this. Marshall's busy today. He can't join us today. We'll ask Dina why. But more importantly, let me invite Dina to the show. Now, Dina, if I'm correct, this is the first time I've had you on this radio show. Am I correct?
That is correct. It's the first time.
Are you nervous?
A little bit.
Oh, darn.
But you told me that your shows are always fun, so I think it's going to be all right.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to lean on you because I'm a little bit nervous talking to you because Marshall's not here. And, you know, anytime you walk into a situation where you're talking to another man's wife, you got to be on your guard because the other man's wife or husband, you know what I'm trying to say. I can't even say it correctly. But what I'm trying to do is just poke a little fun into our conversation, because what I want to illustrate to the audience is that in the pandemic, you and Marshall recognized you had a retirement problem. I mean, is that a sobering statement?
I totally agree. For instance, he couldn't be here today because he got called into a corporate meeting. I told him, like, I thought he chickened out, but he said no, it was a mandatory meeting.
Well, let's see. We'll take a vote at the commercial break and see if he chickened out. But so the thing is, and this is what I know about you and Marshall. One of the reasons you joined Lifestyles Unlimited was to get Marshall to a place of retirement. I mean, wasn't that a primary goal?
That is the primary goal, yes.
Okay. And when exactly did you guys join Lifestyles Unlimited?
So we joined in May of 2020.
Okay, yeah. We were deep in the middle of a pandemic, were we not?
We were. I actually found out about Lifestyles Unlimited because my friends kept sharing David Fisher's posts. And I was like,
"Oh, really?
Who is this guy?" Yeah.
Big Daddy Snaps. That's his nickname.
Yeah,
Big Daddy
that's right.
Snaps.
Big Daddy Snaps.
Yeah.
I was like, "Who is this guy doing stuff in the middle of the pandemic?" Because, you know, we were all stuck at home, so I was looking at my phone a lot.
So what was going on in your life? I mean, what made you guys realize, other than the fact you're sitting at home and you're kind of stuck like everybody else was stuck, what made you realize that what you were doing for retirement may not have worked out for you?
I think it was that we wanted the steady income. At the time, I was wholesaling and flipping, and so the income was very unsteady. You could make a lot of money one month and then no money the next and a lot the next, and the steady income really appealed to me. And the idea of retiring super young so we could travel still.
Okay. And so you were flipping properties, and that's mm-hmm. that's more of a job than investment. At least that's what I think. What do you think?
Oh, it was definitely a job.
Talk me through this wholesaling process, because there's a lot of people out there that think that they have to get to real estate investing by becoming a wholesaler, or they think that wholesaling itself is investing in real estate. But you've got real world experience doing that. So is it? I mean, tell me what it's like to be a wholesaler.
So it's definitely not like investing in real estate. It's a full-time job. You're basically marketing full-time. You're pulling lists. You're trying to define distressed sellers. Then you have to make sure that the numbers work for the investor and for the person that you're trying to help. So it's a full-time, basically marketing job. And then in the end, you're passing, you know, a lot of the equity off to the investor, and you're kind of taking a minimal cut.
Well, how do you get paid? I mean,
when you sell it. So if you don't have any sales that month, you don't get paid.
It's a job. I mean, Dina, you flat out said it's a job, right? I mean, you were putting in, what, 30, 40, 50 hours a week to try and be successful?
I was. Yes, I was putting in about 40 hours a week.
And it's a feast or famine business, right? So, I mean, if you can't put a deal together, there's no fee for you. That's how you earn your money, right? You charge a fee to facilitate a sale. Isn't that what it is?
That's exactly what it is. And then there would be some months where, you know, feast or famine, we wouldn't have a deal. And my husband would be like, so you didn't work this month? Like, what did you do all month?
Yeah. And I mean, so you think about it. I mean, that's like 240 hours you've put in of your own time. And you get to the end of the month and Marshall's like, where's the check, babe? And you're like, I don't know. How do you justify that, right?
I know. I was like, well, I know I was working and I was marketing. Maybe it'll come to fruition next month. And then he would say, oh, you were probably at the gym or something. And, oh, I would get so mad because I worked so hard.
Oh, my goodness. So he was poking the bear a little bit, huh?
Just a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably shouldn't do that. Maybe I'll give him a call after the show and say, don't ever do that again. But you're not a wholesaler anymore, right? So he would never do that to you again. What changed?
I wanted more consistent income. And I also felt like wholesaling, we were taking a lot of the risk and we weren't getting all of the reward. So like my first wholesale deal that I ever did was a bee house that we didn't realize was a bee house. And so we went to go walk it. And
wait a minute, is this a house? You're selling like what a beekeeper puts in his field, a little bee house? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, I wish. No, what had happened was somebody had inherited the house and they let it sit. And a portion of the foundation was pier and beam. And then the other portion was like concrete. And they had built a wall to join this house in between the two. And there was this huge beehive. I mean, it was the whole wall up. And so we had to hire a beekeeper to come and take out the bees. And then he had a trainer. And so while they were working on that, my partner went in, suited up with them. I stayed in the car with his wife because I'm a chicken. I did get stung a little bit. But while we were there, a crackhead came in trying to get his crack pipe. And,
are you kidding me?
No. And so he started running. The trainee for the beekeeper pulled off his hood. And then he started running also. And then all of a sudden we're sitting in the car and we just see this swarm of bees running down the street. Like these people and the bees running after him running down the street. And then my partner was, they're going to the left. My partner was like, you know, shift or whatever, because it was a standard car and his wife didn't know how to drive it. And so we're riding down to the right, like barely moving. They're going to the left. Like it was just wild. And there was just a lot of situations like that. Like they were comical, but they were also, it was a lot of work. And then, so we had to get the whole entire house. Like the beekeeper came and took the hive and everything. And then we sold it. And I think on my first deal, all of that, and we made, I think, $4,000.
Oh my
goodness. And it was a lot of work.
What does it cost to have a beekeeper come out and DB an entire property? I mean, that sounds like a major infestation.
So we were super lucky. I think he had a bee farm, and so it only cost $800.
Oh, only $800. Wow. And you got comedy out of it, because when you were describing all that, I had pictures of cartoon characters going through my mind, you know, with the little whooshy things that indicate wind and stuff behind them running. Yeah, that's where my mind was. But
it was funny. At the moment, I was like, oh my God, are these people going to die? Like, what, you know, but they were all okay. The crackhead got his crack, I'm assuming. And,
I bet you never went back to that house again.
I don't know. We told him there were bees and they were DBing it, and he went in there anyway. He like ignored
us. He went in anyway.
Running out. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, he shouldn't have been there to begin with, but I'm glad he went running out and he never went back. But you eventually sold that house. You made $4,000. How much time did you actually put into that particular deal? I mean, if you were to look back, I mean, was it 10 hours, 20 hours, 40 hours? What does it take of your physical time?
And that's the hard part, because once you call them and get it under contract, it only takes a couple hours, right? But you could be marketing to all of the lists for 40 plus hours a week. So if that was the only one I did that month, and I think it was, then I put in 160 hours to find that one house, which is crazy. Now that I do investing, that's crazy to me.
Yeah. And with your investing today, are you putting 160 hours a month into your real estate investing?
No, not at all. In fact, while we were on the radio, I just got in, we're closing on a house today, and I just got in the amount that's due. And I think so far, total working hours, we've put in maybe 3 hours on this house.
3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And what were you doing in that 3 hour period of time?
So I found it on the MLS. We walked the house. I had a realtor, so he did the contract and everything. So I'm going to say an hour, like looking up the comps, but really he looked up the comps. An hour maybe for the paperwork to the lender, but I've used them for a long time, so it really didn't even take that long, because I use hard money. So they already know that I'm going to make the payments. And then I'm going to have to drive to my husband's work, because he got called out for a notary and he's 30 minutes away. So maybe 4 hours, because it's going to take me 30 minutes to get there, 30 minutes to sign, and then 30 minutes to come back.
And how much money are you going to make on this house? What are the numbers telling you?
Ooh, so that's where I had everything on scraps of paper. And I need to get better.
I love it. You are truly a passive investor. I love you.
Where the ARV conservatively is $175,000.
Okay.
We're buying it for $85,000.
Holy smokes.
We're putting 30 into it. I really don't think it needs 30, but I always try to err on the side of caution.
So that's your rehab budget?
And then, yeah, that's our rehab. And then our cash to close, we already put down $1,000, so I should say that for escrow, because it is on the MLS. And so now our additional cash to close is $6,191.75.
Wait a minute. Say that number again, because that was a very small number.
Mm-hmm. $6,191.75. They just told me where I can wire the check. We actually bought it from an investor that I think they didn't know what they were doing. So they listed a bunch of different properties. So we're using a title out of, I think, Plano.
Interesting. What I'm loving about this deal is you're taking down an asset that's worth $175,000, and you're only spending just slightly over $7,000 of your own money to do this. This is a game changer. When we come back from the break, more on this deal.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon. I'm joined by Dina. Together, we are working on your financial freedom. As we were going to break, Dina kind of spilled the beans on a deal. You're literally ready to write a check. on this particular deal?
I am. As soon as we're done with the radio show, I need to go and meet with the notary.
Okay. So are you okay talking about the parameters of this particular deal? Because what I want to try and do, Dina, is I want to try and showcase for the audience the difference between what you're doing now as a real estate investor and kind of compare that to what you used to do as a wholesaler. And we've kind of worked out that whole wholesaling thing, but I guess I have to get your consent first.
Oh yeah, that's fine.
Oh, typical Lifestyles Unlimited member. I'll share everything with everybody at any time. I mean, that's the culture, right?
It is. Marshall says I overshare, but it's okay.
Well, Marshall's not here. So Marshall. All right. So at the break, I was kind of double checking some of the numbers that you gave me earlier in the show, because I wanted to make sure I got all the numbers correctly. And I'm just going to repeat what I believe you told me. And if I get anything wrong, correct me on the spot. Are you okay with that?
I'm okay with that.
Okay. So this property that you're buying, that you're about ready to write a check for, is valued at $175,000, but it's only worth that price when you get it all fixed up. Is that correct? Do I have that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And because you know how to buy properties at wholesale value, it's got nothing to do with you formerly being a wholesaler. It has everything to do with the fact you understand how to buy property correctly. You have found a distressed asset on the multiple listing service for about $85,000. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And is that what you're offering the seller? Are you offering them $85,000 or are you offering a different number?
So I actually offered them $75,000 and they came back up to $85,000, because I know when you buy on the multiple listing service, a lot of times there's a back and forth. And so when they came back at $85,000, we agreed and we wrote the contract at $85,000.
So you're totally fine with buying this distressed asset for literally 48 cents on the dollar.
Yes, I think it's a good deal.
I think it's a really good deal. Anytime you can buy anything for literally 50 cents on the dollar, I think you're doing really well, because you have a lot of equity that you can work with there. So what's your rehab budget? I wrote down $30,000. Do I have that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Is that a hard number? Is that a soft number? How does that number work for you? Is it the right number or will it fluctuate?
I think that it's probably going to be a little less, but I always want to err on the side of caution, because if not, it's going to come out of my pocket. And this is the hard money lender's money.
Okay. And you're going to have closing and holding costs because you're going to do two escrows. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Now, why are you doing two escrows? Most of the people in the audience don't. I mean, obviously, I understand, but most of the people in the audience don't understand why we have to do two escrows. Can you explain that?
Sure. So the reason I do two escrows is because it lowers my out of pocket. So my hard money lender is going to cover 100% of the purchase price, and they're going to cover 100% of the repairs. So the only thing that I'm coming to closing with is going to be the title fees and then their fees.
And how much money is that?
So I put down $1,000 in earnest money, and then they just emailed me that I need to wire them $6,191.75.
So effectively, you're sending a check out for $7,200, because you've already given them $1,000, and you're just going to give them the difference?
Yes.
Do you realize that $7,200 represents 4%? Of the value of that asset? I mean, you're effectively paying 4% for that property.
I actually did not realize that until you said it. I wrote it all on scraps of paper.
I think it's amazing. And here's some other things that I was able to figure out while we were talking. You're going to capture about $50,000 worth of equity in this asset, but it's only costing you $7,200 to capture that $50,000 of equity. That gives you almost a 700% return on the capital gains. This is a home run, Dina. Do you realize this?
Yes, I'm super excited. And then whenever I refinance it again, I'll get another $2,000 check back from my other lender.
How's that? How does that work?
So as long as it's You know what? That's a good question. I never ask. I just cash the checks.
Okay. Well, I can help you with that because I actually know the answer. So many lenders will allow. Yeah, they'll allow you to refinance. So what you're going to do is you're going to move your hard money lender out of the way by bringing your conventional lender in. So many conventional lenders will allow you to go ahead and refinance up to a certain dollar amount, but they will. Many of them will cap the amount of cash back that you can get, usually at about $2,000. So that just tells me that you have a screaming amount of equity in this asset. This thing is a home run. And we haven't even talked about the cash flow yet. I mean, what is this thing doing as far as cash flow? What do you think the net rent will be after you pay all the expenses?
So the net cash flow will be about $325.
All right, 325. If we annualize that, you just gave yourself a $3,900 a year raise. How does that feel?
All right. That feels great.
That feels good, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time Marshall's boss gave him a $3,900 raise?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. I'm not sure.
maybe you shouldn't answer that in front of millions of people. Maybe let's just step away from
not.
That question. Okay, we'll move away from that question. All right, but here's the other thing I want to point out, and this is what also makes this such a home run deal, is that when you annualize the cash flow at $3,900, and you divide that by the $7,200 that you're actually, I mean, your own money that you're actually putting into this deal, which isn't a lot. By any stretch of the imagination, you're getting a 54.17% cash on cash return, 54% return on investment, just on the cash on cash.
And that's especially exciting because I just finished up with another deal that was almost exactly the same numbers.
Wait a minute, there's more than one that's like this?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, you know, I never did ask you, how many deals do you have, by the way?
So this is going to be our seventh property.
So this will be number seven, and you sold number one already, correct?
We did. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I guess then it'll be number eight because we already sold number one.
Oh, so this is actually number eight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you've got more than one of these.
I know. And now that you said it like that, I need a lot more because it's like printing money.
It's very much like printing money. I mean, it kind of seems to me like you've fallen into something that is going to be very rewarding for yourself and for your family.
Oh, definitely.
We get this property bought today. How long is it going to take to do the rehab?
So that's a good question. It needs, the floors need to be refurbished. We're going to repaint. The hydro actually passed, which I was so surprised about, which is wonderful. We'll do a little facelift on the bathroom and kitchen. So anywhere from 2 to 3 months. I mean, because it is the holidays, I'm thinking maybe 3 months. And then also we're both working full time, so we're just managing the contractors.
So Dina, when did you guys first take down your first asset? Did you do it immediately after joining, or did it take a little while to get the education done? And what was your result?
So I was so excited that I immediately bought a property 2 weeks later.
Outstanding. Weren't you nervous?
You know, I was too excited to be nervous.
So you were pumped up.
I was. I was actually like, Marshall, I did a thing. And he was like, what?
Yeah, I did a thing.
I need your autograph right here.
And what was Marshall's reaction? I mean, was he on board with all of this stuff?
I mean, not so much. He kind of, sort of. He was like, well, I guess you've already done it. But now he is so excited. He's like recruiting people. I think he's got some friends from work that are planning on going to a seminar in January.
Oh, really?
At first he was just like, wow, okay. Because what happened was I had a friend on Facebook that couldn't sell their property, and he had posted on there that he would owner finance. And so I messaged him. It was on the MLS, and it was actually an old client of mine. I used to have a tax and bookkeeping service. And yeah, it was really good. We went, he owner financed it. 2 weeks later, HEB offered him a deal, and he needed out, And so I ended up refinancing with the bank, but I said, well, I just paid all these closing costs. I'm going to have to pay them again. You know, can you cover some of these costs? So he actually reduced the price by like $15,000 to cover some of my closing costs.
Wow. And that was the very first deal, huh?
That was my very first deal.
So do you remember what was your cash out of pocket? What did you contribute from your own household funds to buy that? Do you remember?
Yes, because it was right at about $9,000. It was $9,000 and some change, so maybe $10,000.
You know, I'm noticing a trend with you, Dina. You don't seem to pay more than $10,000 cash out of pocket for your real estate. Am I onto something?
True.
It is true.
Actually, and I just found the paper. It says cash out of pocket, $9,950.
Well, there you go. There you go. So you have figured out how to buy assets that are worth literally 10 times what you're paying for them.
Yes. It's great.
Actually,
it's like learning how to print money.
I have to, rethink that, because 10 times wouldn't be enough. It's more like 20 times. That's how successful you are.
That's awesome. I've never done the math on it. I always just try to get the lowest cash out of pocket possible.
Well, you're doing it. I mean, so you're an expert at it now. I mean, you can sniff these things out.
I can. But I mean, the life changer was also signing up for the mentorship program. So I'm constantly calling Joey and saying, Joey, what do you think? What do you think? And so that helped give me more confidence to buy more properties.
Oh, you're talking about Joey Sullivan, the mentor?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's great, isn't he?
He's really good.
Did you know he spent some time in the Army?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's an Army veteran just like I am.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, he's got a very interesting background. So ask him about his Army times next time you talk to him. But don't let on that I'm the one that filled you in.
Okay. I'm
we'll have a little fun
like,
with Joey.
Joey, I have a random question for you. I'll say,
yeah, there you go.
You were in the Army, were you?
There you go. And then he'll probably tie it back to me. But that's okay. It's totally fine, because Joey Sullivan is one of these guys that is on your team, and he's on my team too. And that's okay that we both share him, is it not?
Yes, it's okay.
Yeah.
He's got more than enough knowledge for all of us.
Absolutely. Because when I need information from Joey, he's literally a text away, and I can usually get the information I'm looking for pretty instantaneously. What's your relationship with him? I mean, is he on speed dial for you, or do you talk to him like once in a blue moon?
He's on speed dial. If I have a question, I'll be like, hey, Joey, it's me again. Call me when you have a chance. And then he calls back right away.
And what kind of questions do you ask him?
Oh, all sorts of questions. I'm trying to think what the latest questions were. It's a lot of like contractor type questions, like, is this a good price? But when I first started, it was, is this a good deal? And then he would send me the spreadsheet and he'd be like, oh, it's a home run. So, I think the longer I've known him, the more the questions have evolved.
So you're improving your relationship with your mentor, and that improvement in that relationship is just strengthening the relationship. I mean, the information is solid already. You can't really improve that information. But the fact that you've got a relationship with him that you can say, hey, I need help, and he contacts you as quickly as he can and gives you the help you need, That's what you need in your business model, correct?
Correct. Because a lot of times I'm making really fast decisions. Like, for instance, this property, it was somebody that went under and they had a bunch of different properties for sale that we were going to go after. And Marshall and I were like, we're just going to wait over the weekend. And when the weekend was over, the properties were gone. And that was on us. And that's where just being able to make a split second decision is super important.
Yeah, the speed of real estate is interesting, because it can move at the speed of light while simultaneously not move at all. Have you noticed that?
Oh yeah, because since this one was somebody liquidating, we actually put the contract on this property 60 days ago.
Wow. All right, so here's a personal question I want to ask you, because I know everybody in the audience is curious. Who's going to retire first, you or Marshall?
Ooh, I think it's going to be me. Marshall makes a lot more than I do, so.
Ah, okay. All right. So how close are you to getting it done?
You know, that's a good question. I think maybe I'm halfway there.
Okay. So if you're halfway there with property number 8, do you retire yourself at property number 15?
That's a good question. I think we should. And, you know, when we sold property number 1, that was actually the cash in hand was like my income for a year. So in theory, I probably could have lived off of that, but I kept it to not, what does John Price say? Never eat your seed corn. So
never
I kept
eat
it
your
so
seed
that we
corn.
Could, so that we could invest it.
Okay. Well, that was smart. I mean, I was going to accuse you of being real estate retired, but once I realized we were talking about equity money and not necessarily cash flow money, I had to check myself before I wrecked myself.
Because what I would tell Marshall is I would be like, look, I made, you know, $50,000 here and $50,000 there. And Marshall would say, but you can't eat equity. So,
yeah, well, you could, but that would be the wrong way of doing it, wouldn't it?
It would be. So I think getting to door number 15 is a good goal. So now I think I'm going to set that goal so that I can real estate retire. Who knows? Maybe next year. You never know.
Well, let me ask the big question. Are mm-hmm. you positioned right now to where you could take down 7 or 8 properties in 2025, and then you and I do this radio show a year from now, and you come back on and you're real estate retired?
Ooh, we could. I think that would be a good goal.
Why don't we plan on doing that?
Okay, that sounds
and
good.
You plan on getting yourself retired. I'll plan on interviewing you. And together, we will show everybody in America that this is absolutely possible, that this isn't a pipe dream. This is the real deal.
Okay. That sounds like a plan. I look forward to being retired.
I look forward to seeing you retired. And then I look forward to figuring out how do we get Marshall retired? Because at the end of the day, we don't want Marshall having to work in corporate America. What we want is we want the same thing for Marshall that we want for Deanna, which is retirement. And if you want to do what Deanna's doing, you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, click on Start Here, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.